You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's August 13th, 2026, and welcome to episode 195 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the program today. I'm glad you're here. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about Halo Campaign Evolved. First, though, let's take a look at the news. Mecha Chameleon has now sold 20 million copies in 2 months. Today's headline comes from Sharif Saeed at Eurogamer. Mecha Chameleon, the indie hide-and-seek game that launched on Steam 2 months ago, has cemented itself as one of the year's biggest hits. The game's developer posted a sales milestone update today, announcing that sales have surpassed a staggering 20 million copies. Mecha Chameleon sold its first 15 million copies in only a month, so its sales pace has slowed somewhat. But an extra 5 million sales in 1 month is a result most other game makers would clamor for. If you haven't seen it yet, this is the game that has you and a group of players running around as these little blank doll-like characters looking for places to hide in the environment. And one player in the group is chosen to be the seeker. It's basically hide and seek. The cool thing is once you find your hiding spot, you use this this MS Paint feature to paint yourself, to paint your body, to blend in with the environment. It's a simple but very neat idea. And to put the kind of success it has had into perspective, some recent games that have sold about 20 million copies include Baldur's Gate 3 and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. That's good company to be in, and it's coming from a tiny Japanese indie team who put together the game in less than 6 months. And this just goes to prove my point that I've been saying for months, that the next generation of video game players really don't care that much about AAA, big budget, console exclusive games with ray tracing and 120 frames per second. They'll take a janky little $6 game that runs on any old laptop and make it one of the biggest video games in the world. I went over to my older brother's house to play video games, which is something that I often did on the weekends back then, because I wanted to check out his new system, the Xbox, that he had just recently purchased. We sat down in the basement and spent hours and hours playing Halo Combat Evolved. And when the weekend was done, I went right out and bought myself an Xbox so that I could keep playing Halo. And, by the way, if you really want to know how times have changed, that original Xbox launched for $299 and 6 months later lowered the price to just $199. Can you even imagine? In the quarter century since that day, Halo has gone from the biggest franchise in all of gaming to a series that is struggling to remain relevant. After original developer Bungie left, the games just didn't hit as hard as they used to, and their latest release, Halo Infinite, was, you know, a step in the right direction. It was fairly well received, but it just didn't make the kind of impact that Xbox had been hoping for. After all these years, though, one thing still remains true. The original Halo is a classic and one of the most iconic video games of all time. So, for the 25th anniversary, Xbox and Halo Studios are going back to the beginning with a from the ground up remake of the original Halo made in Unreal Engine. Halo Campaign Evolved rebuilds the original with modern upgrades and vastly improved visuals. Of note, there is no multiplayer mode here other than co-op, which is, you know, that's been a big part of Halo's formula for a very long time. So this is strictly a remake of the campaign, and I'm fine with that because it lets them focus on this singular task, and I think they do a solid job of making a game that looks and feels fairly modern. First off, the game looks pretty dang great. Built in Unreal Engine 5, the new models are detailed, the updated textures look great, and the improved lighting is very impressive. It's just a really, really pretty game now. I don't know why I'm such a sucker for video game water. Maybe because it's something that's like hard to get right. But the levels when you're on the beach in the Warthog have some of the best looking water I think I've ever seen in a game. This is a Halo game, and I legit took several minutes to just stand on the rocks and watch the waves. The environments all look good, from the rocky canyons on the surface of Halo to the interior of the Covenant ships. It's all very impressive. It's not the most graphically detailed world. You know, this isn't cyberpunk where you're going to be, finding all these little tiny details in every environment. Everything is very pristine and looks like you're the first people to ever be there. But, you know, that's kind of the point. And it still looks really slick. Gameplay-wise, you know, they've made some changes to make the game feel a bit more on par with modern shooters. They've altered the button layout a bit. They've added a sprint. And if you're one of those people who hated the Warthog controls, you can now change that to feel like more traditional vehicle controls. I gotta say though, I tried it, and I think I'm so used to those weird ass controls that the updated ones now felt odd to me. So I ended up switching it back. They also added some new story missions in the form of a level prequel that has Chief, teaming up with Sergeant Johnson. It takes place about a year before the main game. It also has some of the weapons and the enemies that weren't in the original game. So that's a nice little bonus for those that are looking for something new in this package. I will say going through the game in 2026 does shine a little bit more of a light on some of the things that I, you know, I some issues I had with the original game that maybe weren't as big of a deal back then in 2001, like the, you know, like the lack of meaningful variety in the enemies, you know, for a good chunk of the game, at least. You know, you've got alien with a gun, you've got alien with a bigger gun, alien with a shield and a gun. You know, it's, they do eventually change things up a little bit more later in the game, but you know, they could definitely have added some new, more interesting enemy types. Also, there are a lot of levels in this game that are very samey. You know, you're going to go down a lot of shiny alien hallways that kind of start to blur together and all look the same. You know, this game really, for me, I feel like it shines when it goes outdoors into the big, larger open areas. It made me kind of miss that openness of Halo Infinite. I really liked that part of the game. I think overall this is a really good version of a classic game. If you're a hardcore Halo fan who really wants to replay a game that you love, or you know, if you're a PlayStation gamer and you've never played the original, this is pretty easy to recommend, I think. It's gorgeous to look at. The gunplay is still top notch and feels great. And like I said, this game was a milestone in the industry. That being said, some of the level design and other aspects of the game don't hold up quite as well, you know, by modern standards, and it is still fundamentally the same game. So your mileage may vary depending on what you're looking for. Assuming that Xbox and Halo do have a future, I am curious to see if they continue down this, you know, maybe safer route of remakes, you know, with Halo 2, or if they try to move on to yet another attempt at creating a worthwhile sequel. I had a moment last week where I thought that finally, after fighting it for so long, I had reached the age where I've turned into that old man who has absolutely no idea what the hell young people are talking about. It came while I was reading a review, and I won't bother saying what the review was for because it doesn't really matter, and it wasn't a very good review to begin with, but I'm sitting there reading it and thinking to myself, what the hell is a meet cute? Is that like a date? And what does milk toast mean? It sounds like something a British person would have for breakfast, but I don't think that's right either. And I don't know that I could tell you exactly what heteronormative means. I mean, I could probably at least come up with a close guess, I think. And I know that I've never been one of the smartest, you know, one of the sharpest knives in the drawer. But I didn't think that I'd have to use Google to look up words to read a review because I don't know what the kids are talking about. And to be clear, I am not mad at young people over creating new slang. I'm not holding that against them. That's what every generation does. I'm sure that, you know, when I was growing up, the older generation were rolling their eyes every time someone said bitchin' or grody to the max or gag me with a spoon. Because, yeah, those sound pretty stupid. Just like it sounds stupid when people say cap or bussin', whatever the hell that means. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and be kind to one.